Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum partners with a local DAR chapter to host an American Revolution experience traveling exhibit. We get a preview. It's a fashion show for a good cause. We preview Breaking the Label fashion show, which happens on March 18. The Van Andel Institute offers summer camps for hands-on STEM education. AARP offers strategies to help older workers confidently navigate today's job market. And we talk about the book, An Unusual Path.
Get into our conversation. We are, I'll consider us neighbors, hopping a skip away, our beautiful downtown Grand Rapids and the great Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum. Partnering now with the local DR chapter to host an American Revolution experience. We talk to you, Brooke Clement, director of the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum. Such good work you do. Always nice to talk about the new things coming, but the old things to stay.
Absolutely. We're very happy to be here today.
Appreciate you. All right. Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum, good that you have so much to share with us. And yet, here is a traveling exhibit. Tell us more.
So, as you may know, it is 2026, which is the 250th anniversary of our independence. And so, in honor of that, we are commemorating with a lot of programming and events this year, exhibits, etc. And one of them is this exhibit that we are partnering with the DAR, the local chapter here in Grand Rapids. And they brought us this idea of a traveling exhibit that was created for a national tour. And it covers the American Revolution experience.
So lucky to have this, yes, GRA 250 committee that meets at your museum. And yes, does ask for partnerships to explore how we celebrate and commemorate and practice our civic duties with the America birthday. All right, this opens Tuesday.
It does, February 24th through March 5th. It's a quick exhibit, so please come, and it is free to the public. So we hope that we get a lot of people in and enjoy it.
All right, let's do more 101s. We say free. Would you like me to have my admission fee to see it, though?
I mean, if anyone would like to donate, that's perfectly acceptable. We're happy to do that. But honestly, it's about bringing this educational experience to the public. And so that's why we're giving it to the public for free.
Nice. All right. An innovative pop-up exhibition. First of all, let me back up to the Daughters of the American Revolution. This would be the Sophie de Marsac Campau chapter. I'm going to crush that.
Yeah, I don't try.
You're smarter than I am. But again, Daughters of the American Revolution, glad that these organizations can stay alive. Is this an exhibition that includes panels highlighting thematic connections?
Yes, it's mainly a panel exhibit. It will be in our lobby, but there are a few interactive pieces that educate further.
Let me introduce a topic, and you expand. This draws from documents and objects in DAR's collection. What are some of the things we see?
That is a good question. Like, we're seeing things that highlight the ordinary people that contributed to the American Revolution. So instead of seeing things that, like, George Washington did, per se, you know, we're looking at how women, how Native and Black populations at the time assisted, how our foreign allies participated as well.
Give me an example of, you have three interactive kiosks which connect to the full digital biography. Give me an example of how this works.
So those are going to be press and play, and you know, you can learn more stories, or you can dive deeper into what the American Revolution War was like, and just learning more about the timeline as well. So it's really up to the user to determine how they want to explore further.
And this offers, wow, this is kind of cool, information on how to visit places tied to these individuals today. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the DAR, to create this exhibit, they connected with the National Public Parks trust. So it definitely will hopefully get people interested in going out into the country and seeing more.
Nice. And again, you can't beat the partnerships. I understand your quote from DAR President General Pamela Rouse White. DAR honored to have collaborated with the American Battlefield Trust. Yes?
Absolutely.
And tell me more about this.
So they connected with them. And so if you want to learn more about all the battlefields that were used during the American Revolution, this is going to be the place to come and learn more.
Yes. This opens Tuesday. When is it removed, for lack of better terms?
The last day to see it is going to be March 5th.
In the beautiful museum lobby, then you can stop in the gift shop and do all your early Christmas shopping. There's a plug. What else is going on with the museum as I walk in your front doors, Brooke?
Well, we have a lot planned this year because of A250. We are going to have a lot of programming, a lot of exhibits, both here and at our library in Ann Arbor, and so. I just encourage people to look at our website or sign up for our newsletter. Our website is fordlibrarymuseum.gov. We also are on social. But one of our programs that we are actually having today is kind of a gallery chat. We have an archivist coming over from Ann Arbor, and he's going to talk about the proclamation that President Ford signed in 1976, declaring the month of February as Black History Month, which was the first time that it was declared the full month.
For that, yes. The many opportunities for the lectures and the conversations, wonderful auditorium you have as well. And yet the permanent exhibits. For one hearing this opportunity for the first time, what must I see on a visit to the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum?
Well, if you ask me, it's always about Betty. I love Mrs. Ford, and so learning more about her, I think, is a must because she is just a fabulous First Lady. She did so much during her time in short time in the administration, but also afterwards. And so I plug her as much as I can.
And are there exhibits that do? We know the statue, for lack of better terms, mm-hmm. Is very prominent. In addition to seeing the president's cabinet desk, mm-hmm. What else will we see when it comes to Betty?
So upcoming this spring, actually, like right now, we have our permanent exhibits, which highlight her work and some of the state dinners and things like that. But we actually are going to be opening a new exhibit at the end of May called Waltzing with the Queen. And we are going to be highlighting Betty's work in bringing the Queen over here in 1976 and to commemorate the bicentennial at that time. And so, yeah, Betty is always going to be involved in some way.
Hashtag as she should. There we are. Brooke Clement, director of the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum, again talking about what's opening Tuesday, the free exhibit that runs through March 5th. Again, all about this partnership with the DAR and the American Revolution experience in the lobby. Lastly, you mentioned the Ann Arbor Museum. What's the similarity? What's the difference? I've actually never been to that museum.
So it's not a museum. It's mainly a research facility. So when President Ford left office, he opted at that time to have two facilities. He wanted his presidential records, his textual documents, his audiovisual records. He wanted those to be in Ann Arbor on the University of Michigan campus, which was his alma mater. And so, but he also wanted to make sure that Grand Rapids was not forgotten. So he opted then to also create the museum over here. We are the only presidential library in the system that has two separate facilities.
That's why, well, we discuss and remind us that the state is all about Gerald R. Ford. What else would you like to share, Brooke?
I think that for me, I just want to highlight President Ford at this time when he was going around commemorating the bicentennial. I think that there's a quote that I want to share because it ties directly into the exhibit that's going to be opening next week. And on July 4th, 1976, President Ford said, "It is important to remember that final success in that struggle for independence, as in the many struggles that have followed, was due to the strength and support of ordinary men and women who were motivated by three powerful impulses: personal freedom, self-government, and national unity."
All right. How do we find out more information about the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum and the new exhibit that's coming?
Please visit us at fordlibrarymuseum.gov. And we also have a newsletter. We have social. We hope that you subscribe and you follow us.
There's much happening in this year of 250, again, both locally and nationally. Thank you, Brooke Clement, for your leadership, director of the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Museum. Andrea in the background doing great things. Take care. Mark your calendar for March 18th, 6 p.m., Breaking the Label Fashion Show. It supports Sheldon Health Clubhouse, so obviously we talk about it. Michelle Crick, you're involved. Michelle Crick Style, good morning to you. Styling it up.
Good morning.
Tara Van Dyke from Sheldon Clubhouse, you're a star.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for having us.
Yes. Michelle, are you excited to be here?
I'm always excited to be here with you.
Well, again, you are all about fashion and the good work you do. Here to chat about a very important event you're hosting. And Tara, let's start with your words. What's up for the 18th of March?
Yeah, so we are hosting our Breaking the Label Fashion Show fundraiser again this year. Our theme is True Colors. We had a lot of fun picking a theme this year. And we're super excited to be partnering again with Michelle Crick Style. It's going to be an incredible night of fashion, community, and impact.
Dig a bit more into your resume, what that means when I introduce you as a personal stylist.
Yeah, well, a personal stylist is someone that works with clients to define their style, be clear on who they are as a person, how they represent themselves. We work in closets, shopping, styling, but we also do a lot with the community. We do fashion shows, we do workshops in locations, and it's really about making sure that people feel great about themselves and being sure that they're representing themselves in their best foot forward.
Men and women?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tara, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, so born and raised right here in West Michigan. I'm a Grand Valley alumni, a mom of two Michigan State Spartan alumni, and have spent the last 26 years working with clubhouse programs here in West Michigan, just really walking alongside folks living with serious mental illness, and it's truly become a passion for me.
Yes, and let's talk about Sheldon Clubhouse and what it does for the community, Tara.
Yeah, so one in five people are living with a diagnosable mental health condition in any given year, and one in 25 are living with a serious mental illness where it's impacting their life in pretty significant ways, whether that's relationships, daily life, school, work. And Sheldon Clubhouse is a program at Cherry Health, part of an international evidence-based model, really works to support folks in that journey. It's not a treatment center or therapy program. It's really a working community where people find connection, purpose, support, and meaning. And working from a place of isolation to connection, a place of just managing symptoms to really building a meaningful life. So really important program, doing a lot of great work here. And we're excited that this fundraiser will help us connect with folks that don't know about us.
Yes. Members and staff work side by side each day to run the clubhouse. Tell me more here, Tara.
Yeah, so that's one thing really unique about the clubhouse model is that members and staff are partners in everything we do, from big decisions to little ones to every task of the clubhouse, from preparing meals together to managing our clerical and administrative tasks, supporting each other in education and employment goals. And really our focus is simple. It's that everyone has value and everyone has something to contribute. And when people feel that they belong, they can really work towards goals. That are important to them and achieve them.
Drum roll. Why?
I'm obsessed.
You're obsessed?
Oh, I just love this organization, love what they do for the community.
And that's so cool.
And the way Tara talks about it just makes me so happy.
It's probably why you're part of this interview. Stand by. Why a fashion show, Tara?
This is our major fundraiser of the year, so it's a big one. And like everything we do, members are involved in this too. So from deciding our theme for the year, looking at how we're organizing things, the music. We had a lot of fun last week picking the mocktails that we're going to be serving and what's in those. And so it's also a really great way to showcase members. It's exciting to see them walk the runway, but also behind the scenes too, managing the event in all the other ways.
Yes. And again, this is March 18th, open to the public. Obviously, that's why we're here, to sell a ticket or two. And obviously, there'll be ways to give at the event itself. Michelle, give us more of the big picture and why fashion and what you have in store for us with the models.
Yeah, so why not fashion? That would be my first question. Always. Or style, should I say. But yeah, what I love about this organization is they do include their members in everything. It's literally not a treatment center. It's a place where they go to be part of something. And so with the fashion show, members from the clubhouse will be modeling, and they did last year too. And I have to tell you, I've done a lot of fashion shows in my many years in this career, and this was one of my most special fashion shows I've ever been part of. And I get like, it's a very emotional because we make them feel amazing. And you just watched them shine last year. And it was incredible to be part of.
Before I have you drop a few names, Tara, this is at the clubhouse on that evening?
Yeah. At the clubhouse, right in our space, you'll get to see some of the inner workings of the clubhouse while being in our space. We have a nice large location right downtown Grand Rapids, 201 Sheldon Boulevard. 6 o'clock, March 18th.
And we'll repeat this, obviously, at the end. Get tickets via?
You can go to our website, sheldonclubhouse.org. There's a link right on our homepage. We'll bring you right to all the details and ticket sales.
Beautiful. You do have an amazing lineup of community leaders and supporters and those who call Sheldon Clubhouse their home away from home. Michelle, you want to take it from here?
Yeah. So we have 12 models from the clubhouse, and then we have quite a few community leaders and supporters walking. I mean, people like
strutting.
Like Michelle McCormick is going to be there. Michelle Dunaway, Michelle Rabideau, President of St. Mary's
Three
Foundation.
Michelles.
I know,
so
and
many
then
Michelles.
Me too. I know.
You're all probably
it's
the
like
same generation.
It's like a quadruple effect of Michelles that night.
Nobody's named Shelley from that. Right? I'm a Shelley. Yes.
You're holding down the fort on that one. We have men modeling. We have Amber from Wood TV. We have Casey from West Michigan Woman. We also have Diana Bittner, who is amazing, as we know. And Christy Buck from the Mental Health Foundation. Tasha's going to be there. Andrea Wolf, doctor. Like, there's so many fun people involved. And these people, some did last year, some are new this year. But what I loved about it is they all got into it. They were combined with the members. We see them all together through the fashion show. And it just feels very special. Of everybody just coming together and be part of this event.
Wonderful. May I come and MC?
It's not an option. Not an option.
I would never ask, but
And you and I had a blast last year. So, yeah, I'm thrilled you're doing it again.
I'm going to do Blast 2.0 this
we
year.
We are.
Because it's all about raising money, awareness, and yes, we want you in the room for it, but when you're in the room, there will be excitement. Again, talking about excitement when it comes to an opportunity for you to support Sheldon Clubhouse, talking to Tara Van Dyke and Michelle Crick. All right, more about the fashion show and, well, more. Michelle.
We have a fun night planned.
Yes.
So it's not only a fashion show. There is going to be food available. There's an online silent auction and a silent auction at the event. You also have an opportunity to do a live auction. That's the one that I'm speaking to that Shelley and I had a really good time at last year. And, you know, Clubhouse members, part of it. He helped with the silent auction last year and the live auction with us, and it made it really fun. We'll also have a photo booth so you can take photos. We have some other little interactive things. So it's not just about the fashion show. It's about the experience. And also, I think what One Piece is really special is experiencing it in Sheldon Clubhouse location. You are experiencing it literally where all the members come every day, and you experience what that really feels like and looks like for them, which is very special.
Nope, you're not covering anything up. All the notes are still on the table, yep. As they say. Tara, I'm asked to ask you, are there any other fun surprises happening that night? I guess you need to tease us here.
Yeah. So so we picked the theme True Colors, and that was a clubhouse-wide decision. And we really like that theme. It certainly ties to fashion and style. But also, it's what Clubhouse is about, really letting people show their true colors and seeing people as individuals. And so we're doing a really cool collaborative art project that we're going to unveil at the event. It's lots of vibrant colors. And you'll definitely see our members represented in this. And we're super excited to reveal that. And we will be auctioning that off at the event.
Yes. So that will be a one of a kind. Who provides the clothing, Michelle?
I'll be working with 5 boutiques this year. And it's all local boutiques in the community, which, you know, it takes a lot behind the scenes to create a fashion show like this. So these boutiques are loaning us the clothes and allowing all of the members and our community members to wear the clothes during the event. So we'll be partnering with the James Boutique and then Roman James, which is a new men's location in Ada. It is gorgeous. Dear Prudence, Croft House, and Gild the Lily. Gild the Lily is a consignment store. So, you know, as a stylist, I believe it doesn't matter where you get your clothes. It's about how you feel in your clothes and how you're styling your clothes. So that's why we have quite a range of different styling and price points and boutiques that we're partnering with. And I can't be more thrilled that we're doing this with all these boutiques. And then Gild the Lily is also doing something very special, as they are donating some of the clothes to Sheldon Clubhouse. They have an on-site boutique, and the members can buy items out of that boutique for 25 cents. So again, nothing's free to the members. They are part of the journey that they have in the clubhouse. And so it's just beautiful that they're donating some of their clothes to this clubhouse.
What would you like me to wear? Can I go to one of those places and model while I'm at the microphone?
100%.
Ooh, let's do that.
Okay. 100.
Planning it while we go, as they say. I'll just do a little twirl. And Shelley's wearing. Tara, why should people attend?
Yeah, so there isn't a single person that isn't impacted by mental illness in some way, whether personally or through someone that they love. This event is a really meaningful way to support mental wellness in our community while celebrating authenticity and courage and hope. And the funds raised will ensure that there's access to the clubhouse for our members. It supports programming, employment, and education opportunities, and the resources that our members need to reach their goals.
All right, you're allowed to cry, Michelle Crick. What does this event mean to you?
Well,
don't fake it, though.
Oh, I don't. We all know that I can't. I really found this event to be very special. And what I loved is the connection with the members. And we are now planning the second year. Mm-hmm. And when I showed up this year to meet with everybody, it was very special. They all were like, "Hi, Michelle." And it was just one of those exciting moments. And even one of the guys saw me somewhere and he was like, "Oh, I saw you here." I mean, it was just one of those things where it just felt very special. And I believe in giving back to the community. And I think it has to be authentic on how you give back and how you connect with people in the community. And this is really something that I wasn't expecting how special it was last year. And I'm thrilled to be part of it again this year.
Yes. And I know the great Deb, who previously ran Couture for a Cure, said this may be one of the most meaningful shows she's ever worked on. She's worked on some pretty big shows.
Yeah, I think what was interesting, it surprised both of us last year. It was one of those moments where it took us by surprise because we've done so many events, and it was just how special the members and even the models and how they all connected together is what also
really
made it
awesome.
Special.
They are. What happens in the dressing room stays in the dressing room. Strut it, ladies and men. Event details one more time, please.
Yeah, so the event is March 18th, 6 p.m. at Sheldon Clubhouse. Tickets are $75, and you can go to our website at sheldonclubhouse.org to purchase those. If you can't come, donations are always welcome. You can also go to the website and make a donation if you're not able to join us.
Great. And you get into closets on the side there, Michelle?
Absolutely. I help make sure people are clear on who they are and how they represent themselves. And you know, it's fun. It makes people feel good, and that's why I do what I do.
Yes. Doing it for Sheldon House on behalf of Cherry Health. We'll see you on the 18th of March at 6 p.m. Thank you, ladies. If your passion is for STEM, this one is for you. The Van Andel Institute offers summer camps for hands-on STEM. Let's talk to you, learning specialist Ben Talsma, about the Van Andel Institute for Education and the STEM camping ops. Obviously, summer will be here before we know it. That's being positive, and let's not pass up spring. But hi to you, Ben.
That's right. It's starting to feel a little summery already these days, and we've got tons of summer camp options. We've got 34 different camps, 12 of those new, really trying to match up what we do with what kids are interested in, because no matter what you're curious about, there are ways that you can do science to explore it. So we really encourage kids to check those camps out and find one that's right for them.
Very cool. Let's do the big picture. We know the wonderful work of the Van Andel Institute in research and discovering and more, but there's this whole Van Andel Institute for Education arm, again, where your niche is. Tell me more and then move into your lineup of hands-on STEM summer camps.
That's right. We've got the Research Institute, which is doing world-class science to have a positive impact on human health. But we've been charged with raising up the next generation of people who are going to make a positive difference in this world. So you can check out all of our summer camps at vaieducation.org. We've got camps for coding. We've got camps for creatures. We've got camps for chemicals. We've got camps for K-pop. Essentially, whatever it is that you want, we can give it to you.
Are your camps designed to keep young minds engaged when school is out, emphasizing, well, let's go through all three. The first is curiosity.
Definitely. Every camp that we do builds around a couple questions that are going to be interesting to kids and where they can use their scientific skills to figure those out.
How about problem solving?
Oh, definitely. We do lots of engineering challenges, lots of open-ended challenges where kids have to be creative in order to figure out how the best way to reach the conclusion that they're striving for.
And critical thinking.
Critical thinking is just evaluating different options, weighing different ideas, deciding which one is better. And every time you come to a VAI camp, you're going to be engaging in some of that critical thinking decision-making. It's a wonderful experience.
Great. All right, let's do some 101s here. First of all, are camps available all summer long?
Yeah, we've got camps starting in June and going all the way through August. So no matter what your schedule is, there's definitely something for you.
What age ranges are we looking toward?
We've got camps for starting way down in kindergarten, moving all the way up to those middle school, high school students.
And what kind of deadlines do you want for registration?
Well, we take registrations anytime. However, a lot of the more popular camps fill up fast. So again, we strongly encourage people to check out vaieducation.org.
All right, let me get even more detailed here. New offerings are available this year. What is the K-pop STEM Stars?
So we know that kids are really interested in K-pop. It's sort of sweeping through some of those age ranges. So we wanted to make something available that was going to kind of pique that curiosity, capitalize on that curiosity. Every day they're going to be engaged in a different STEM challenge that has some sort of creative connection to the K-pop world.
Minecraft Makers?
Definitely another thing that's really popular with students these days. We want to meet kids where they are. So if you're a Minecrafter, you can come. And again, every day is going to be a different Minecraft-related challenge where you get to use curiosity, creativity, and critical thinking.
And Van Andel Institute, not only a great institute on the Hill, but also a great institute for education. Van Andel Institute for Education expanding its lineup of hands-on STEM summer camps for, this year for sure, speaking with Ben Talsma. Who are your instructors in general for these?
So we've got an incredible team of curious, creative individuals, teachers from all around the area who have been hired in to provide those incredible experiences. We collaborate together, building those out, give each other feedback, and try to figure out the best way to deliver these in an incredible way. So every instructor is super engaging, super caring, just a wonderful staff, great group of people.
Great. Talk to me a little bit about your journey thus far, Ben.
So So I was a teacher in the classroom for at least 15 years, slightly more than that, before I ended up finding a spot here at VAI. And it's just been an absolutely incredible experience. It has really helped me to expand my understanding of how to teach science effectively. And it's been a great opportunity to collaborate with some incredible people.
That's what West Michigan does. Details one more time for getting a young mind interested in science, STEM, and more through Van Andel Institute for Education, please.
Yeah, just go to vaieducation.org. There's a four families link at the top. If you click on that, you'll see a summer camps option. You can explore and find one that's right for you and your kids.
Wonderful. Yep, summer will come back, as they say. Thank you very much, Ben Tolsma, learning specialist with the VAI education arm. Take care.
Take care.
Carly Roskowski on the line. She's Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming with AARP, here to share new data and tips for job seekers over 50. Ah, to be 50 again. Good morning to you, Carly.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. Of course, our big headline, AARP does offer strategies to help older workers confidently navigate today's job market. I'm not saying 50's old, but it's better than the alternative. Tell me more about your research and the intent here.
Yeah, so new AARP research shows that in the past 6 months, 7% of retirees age 50 and older have unretired or re-entered the labor force. And 48% said that their primary reason for returning to work is to make money, with also the desire to stay active a distant second at about 14%.
Yes. Do these numbers surprise you?
No. With the cost of living still very high and many people worried that they don't have enough saved for retirement, we believe that this trend of older workers either working longer or returning to the workforce is likely to continue.
Is 50 a key number for those under the umbrella of AARP?
It is a key number, but we believe our tools and resources can help job seekers or career changers at any age.
Wonderful. So here's the question. What advice do you offer older workers who are looking for a job now, specifically when it comes to, well, using AI?
Yeah, well, the job market has changed dramatically in recent years, with AI and new technology playing a much bigger role. So we encourage older workers to embrace this technology and use AI in your job search. You can use it to help write your resume, your cover letter. It can also provide research and information on the companies that you're applying to or you're interested in, and it can predict the types of questions that you may be asked in an interview.
We often hear about those talking about unretirement, when people return to work after they've retired. Is this a target audience for you?
It is. As I mentioned, this research that just came out showed 7% of retirees 50 and older returning to the workforce, which is an increase in the last time we put out this survey back in the summer of 2025. And we have also seen that from this research, 28% of retirees say that they retired too early.
Yes, there you are. Let's talk specifically tips for older job seekers for updating their resume. I know that's still a request, coming back into the workforce after retiring or even maybe looking for a new role here.
Yes, it's critical. Job seekers should focus on making sure that their resume highlights their skills and experience and not their age. So we recommend your resume be no more than 2 pages long, that you focus on recent experience. You can include your credentials, but you don't have to include graduation dates. Don't include your street address, and maybe ditch that old AOL or Hotmail email address for a more modern service like Gmail. We also encourage you to make sure that industry-specific terms or specific keywords from the job descriptions that you're applying to are included in your resume.
Obviously, we'll share a website for more information. Carly Roskowski with us, Vice President, Financial Resilience Programming, AARP, talking all things new data, tips for job seekers over 50. AARP often highlights the benefits that come with those from different generations working together. What are you finding here as we move into 2026?
5 generations in the workforce today, and multi-generational teams bring together different perspectives, different skill sets, and different problem-solving approaches. Younger workers say that collaborating with older colleagues provide opportunities to learn new skills and contributes to a more productive work environment. And our recent research shows that 90% of workers enjoy working with people of all different ages.
Cool. Let's all get along. Are there substantial resources AAP offers looking for work in this group, shall we say?
Yes, job seekers can go to aarp.org/work to find expert advice, tools, and up-to-date information, including AARP and Indeed's job search platform, which offers thousands of curated job listings you can apply to, resume assistance, and interview prep. We are also offering a free course on AI now through March 31st, and you can learn about the different kinds of AI, the benefits, the challenges of integrating AI into your work or your everyday life, and you can find that free course at aarp.org/skills.
And would you agree AARP remains the nation's largest nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to empowering people 50 and older?
Yes, I do agree.
Good answer. All right, man, one more time, the best website.
The best website to go to is aarp.org/work.
Thanks, Carly, for your time and your leadership when it comes to, well, staying employed. There you go. Take care.
Thank you, Shelley. You too. Have a great day.
February, Black History Month. We're reflecting on stories that reveal the full, often untold scope of American history. His new book is out, An Unusual Path, 3 Generations from Slavery to the White House. I'm honored to speak with you, author, former White House National Security Official, John Rory Ficklin. Good morning to you, Mr. Ficklin.
Good morning, Shelley.
Appreciate you. We'll add honorable to you as well. Thank you for your distinguished career that did span 8 presidential administrations. You okay with that introduction? It kind of puts the age on the docket, but better than the alternative.
You got that right.
We'll move forward. An unusual path. Would you introduce us to your work?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my book is a truly great American story. It's the story of our lives. It's the story of 3 generations of Ficklin men, beginning with my grandfather. And I said grandfather, not great-grandfather, but my grandfather that was born enslaved in 1855, and his son, one of his sons, my dad, who moved to Washington and became the maitre d' in the White House for at the end of his career, and then me, who worked at the White House for 40 years.
Thank you for that. The journey of your 3 generations. Let's put the spotlight, first of all, on your grandfather, James Strother Ficklin. What was unique about him? He did serve in the follow the family's path to the White House, followed that?
No, he did not. My granddad never really migrated to Washington. He was born in about 1855, separated from his mother and siblings. He was listed as a mulatto toddler in the 1860 census. And he went on. He was married 3 times. His first 2 wives, unfortunately, passed away. He was widowed 3 times. And then he married my grandmother and had 10 kids with her. And saved enough money to purchase 37 acres of land, and he farmed and raised 14 children there. He was an amazing man.
Yes, we need him in the White House, but he set the scene for your father. Put your spotlight on Dad.
But, you know, my dad was, he taught us a lot. He was a kind of person that if you're on time, you're late. If there's any job that you're going to do, you need to do it the best you can. And he passed that down to his sons, that ethic. But he served in World War II. began working in the White House in 1939 after the war. He came back to the White House as a full-time butler, and his career just took off.
What brings you to this unusual path then, eventually yourself continuing the tradition of service, yes, spanning every presidency from FDR to Barack Obama, yes?
Oh, yeah, my period began in the Nixon administration. It was my first summer job in the White House that lasted a little bit longer than a summer, and I was a messenger. So I moved, this is before fax machines and email and all that technology. So I moved papers around in the White House complex and around the town of Washington, D.C. That was my first job. And I, while in college, I recognized a gentleman who I'd seen around the White House, and he introduced me to the National Security Council staff. And I took a job there and spent 40 years.
Did you get to meet Gerald R. Ford?
You know, I did meet him, shook his hand, I think, at a Christmas event. It was a social event. I attended Christmas parties and other events around the White House, both as my father's son and in my own personal capacity. But I did get to meet him, and a greeting at Christmas, and that was about all it was.
So we ask his Grand Rapids, of course, his museum, and we call it birthplace, in a roundabout way. Your family served quietly behind the scenes for decades. John, why do you think stories like yours are often left out of the broader American history narrative?
Well, there are a lot of African-American stories that really don't get told very much. And I think that, I don't know, it's a good question. In my instance, there were kind of other stories told. For example, the movie The Butler talks about kind of, you know, in a fictional way, kind of the life of service individuals in the White House. In my area, in the national security world, those stories are not going to be told, except for, you know, people like Colin Powell and Susan Rice and the President of the United States, Barack Obama, at one point. Those stories do get out there. But there are a lot of people working behind the scenes proudly and providing humble service and doing wonderful work.
And, of course, you and your family serving under seven U.S. presidencies across decades. How did your family's legacy of service shape the way you approach leadership and public duty?
Oh, again, I have to repeat my father's ethic. You know, any job you do, you do it the best you can. And, you know, I was honored to serve. America is a great country, and it's you don't need to be in the forefront. You don't need to be in the limelight to give honorable and good service to the American people.
Yes, thank you for that. All right, are there any anyone beyond you to carry the generation?
I think for the moment, I think I'm the last of the Ficklin family to serve. But
there you are. All right. For us who want to read more about your family's story in this important month and beyond, where do we find An Unusual Path and find out more about you?
Well, the White House Historical Association has the book available at the website shop.whitehouse.org, and the book is also available at amazon.com.
Should be. All right, thank you again for your leadership, this history, your father, your grandfather, and of course you continuing this wonderful legacy. Author, former White House National Security Official John Rory Ficklin. Thank you. According to Ralph Waldo Emerson, my mom will get this, what you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you say. Okay. Hope you enjoyed the show. Going to be a bit on Memorex for the next 3 days as, well, vroom, vroom, we've got to run in the sun, as they say. So we're still connected, though. Thank you for listening and supporting WGVU. Happy Thursday.